Morning, today's daf Nidus Chavtes. The Gemara yesterday, according to Mishnah, regarding a woman who miscarried, and she miscarried various ledos, which may or may not be male or female. The Mishnah discussed a woman who was mapil, tumtum, or androgynous. These are people where the identity of gender is a question mark. Why? So there are two different reasons. Tumtum is where the identity is unknown because it's covered. There's a membrane that is covering over the area, and so therefore it's undetermined whether or not it's male or female. It could be one or the other. In other words, tumtum could be definitively male, could be definitively female. It just happens to be that the area is covered, so we don't know. As far as an androgynous is concerned, so that's somebody who has both male and female genitalia. So there is an opinion, which we really didn't explore much yesterday because the Gemara wasn't really considering it, but there is an opinion that androgynous is buried up if ne'atzma. It's really its own independent entity, meaning it's not male or female, but there's a third possibility, and that is an androgynous. So just simply, it's a hybrid. It's its own independent entity. However, as far as we're concerned, we're keeping it a little bit more simpler. We're just simply saying that a tumtum and androgynous are both tzveikos, and as a result of a tzveik, so the question, of course, becomes, so what then is going to be regarding tumas leida? So we know that a mother is metami tumas leida when she gives birth. And we also know that it's going to be contingent on whether she gives birth either to a male or to a female. If she gives birth to a male, so it's going to be 733, 7 days followed then by 33 days. If she gives birth to a female, it's going to be 1466. So what if she gives birth to this tumtum androgynous? So what becomes of that? So the Mishnah discusses that, and the Mishnah told us yesterday that Hamapel's tumtum androgynous, Teisha v'zecher nekeva. So what she's going to do is that she's going to be sitting for both, zecher nekeva. Zecher nekeva, and Rashi over there in the Mishnah said that it's going to be the Yemei Tawar for the zecher, and Yemei Tumah the nekeva. It's going to be 1426. Now, if I say 1426, you're going to keep hearing me say those numbers, and it's very simple. Because on one hand, we know that the first stage of the Yemei Leida are going to be a Yemei Tumah. And so therefore, you want to take the most stringent position, which is going to be 14 days. We also know that after the Yemei Tumah, they're going to be what's called Yemei Tahor, Dam Tahor. Right, the 33 days for a male and the 66 days for a female, she's still in a state of Tvul Yom. This part, I admit, is a little bit confusing, but she's still in the state of Tvul Yom. She can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. She can't eat karbanos during this period of time. However, the blood that comes out of her is what's called Dam Tahor, meaning vis-a-vis her husband. She could be with her husband. It's obviously a significant kula. And we're going to talk later in the Masechta that already by the stage of the Gaonim. So we stop practicing Dam Tahor, but that's something we'll talk later in the Masechta. And so, but anyway, so there's Dam Tahor, which obviously serves as a kula. But again, we don't know what she gave birth to. Was it a male or was it a female? So we have to be machmir on that, and then we're going to take the smaller number, which is a male. But you see, with a male, it's 33 days, but it's not 33 days in this particular scenario because there's an additional 7 days of tumah that she observed on the chance it was a female. So what we're doing is we're just taking the number 33, we're subtracting 7 from it, and that's how we get to 26. Mm-hmm. So it's 14 and 26 days. Anyway, so this is what happens if she gives birth either to a tumtum and androgynous. And then from that point forward, the Gemara then gave the Mishnah gave a number of other scenarios.
Why can't you just resolve the tumtum? You can't resolve the sopik. I mean, it's not going to stay a tumtum all his life, right?
Right. It's a wonderful question. Why don't we just ascertain as to the gender of the tumtum? So it must be our lack of knowledge and understanding of what exactly, I describe it as a thin membrane that's covering it. It has to be something more significant. There must be something more to it than just simply, just peel it off and see. It has to be. Okay. I mean, I'm professing my lack of knowledge. I just simply don't know. Okay. Tumtum zachar, androgynous is zachar, tashal zachar nekeva. And the Mishnah goes over other scenarios where it was a tumtum with a male, meaning it was twins, and it was a tumtum and a female. So teisha v'zachul nekeva. And again, over here, because we definitively know what came with it, but we're still going to treat the tumtum as a suffix. Tumtum v'nekeva, androgynous v'nekeva, teisha v'nekeva b'vah. Now, if it's tumtum v'nekeva, so here, because we definitively know a female came out with the tumtum, and even if the tumtum would have been a male, but still, at twin births, where it's male and female, so the female is going to obviously dominate what exactly her days of leida are going to be. Because since it's definitively a female, so it's going to be 14 and 66. And then the Mishnah goes on from there about where it's coming out breaching, it's coming out in pieces, and we'll discuss that a little bit later this morning. But the first thing we need to do is finish up yesterday's discussion, which is the Gemara talked about what happens when either our tumtum or our judgment is split. But let's, either way. But you know, it's easier to just talk in terms of tumtum in this regard. No, I take it back. We're talking about both. The tumtum and a judgment, so they have discharges, and the discharging the color red or the color white. Now, here's what we know. The color red is the color of discharge that would make a woman tummy, not a man. A man has a red discharge, so he needs to call a doctor. But as far as tum is concerned, he's not tummy. And the opposite. If a woman discharges something white, so that is not going to make her tummy. Right. In other words, for a woman to become tummy, she has to discharge red, i.e. blood. When a man discharges, so he's going to be discharging something that looks more whitish in nature. And so therefore, our tum-tum either discharged red or white. So what do we say regarding tumma? So you say what you would expect probably me to say, which is suffix. We simply don't know. What if they discharge red and white? Oh, okay, fine. So then under those circumstances, you would say, well, now we know. We don't know what this person is vis-a-vis gender, but regardless, meaning there are two options, it's male or female, and both discharges came out. So, okay, so we have it covered, right? So the answer, of course, is yes, but there's one caveat. And this is the caveat that we spent time discussing yesterday, and we're going to finish up yesterday's daf, and obviously then move on to today's daf. What's that one caveat? So the caveat is a statement that was made by Rav Nachman Amarav. If you turn back to Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, so you're going to see it, and you'll see this is going to be really the remainder of yesterday's daf. So I'm going to start in the bottom of Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, just simply because it's really a good starting point. So if our tum tum and judgment is either discharged red or white, so again, so it's suffix. Will they be chayv of carbon if they go into the base of Mikdash? No, of course not. Because they shouldn't go, but they're not going to be chayv because we don't know for sure that they're tummy. If they touch truma, what do we do with the truma? The answer is nothing. Kohanim can't eat it because it may be tummy, but we're not going to burn it because it may be tahor.
Right.
Okay, good. Now, what if they see red and white? So, ein chayav and al bias mikdash aval sofen alayim as a truma. Shenemra mizachar v'ad nekeva. Okay, so now this is the part which is the caveat. Let's say they saw red and white. So as far as truma is concerned, exactly as you would have anticipated. So if they touch truma, so then the truma is tummy. You're going to burn the truma because again we're unsure about their gender, but at the same time they discharge red and white. So therefore, whichever gender they are, they discharge something that's going to make them tummy. So this person is tummy. So they touch truma and the truma you're going to burn. That part's easy. That part makes sense. If they go into the base of Mikdash, you're not going to be chayav a carbon. Right? Where the chiv of going into the carbon in a state of tumma is going to be a carbon olaviyori, like we discussed in the first two prakim of Masechta Shavuos. Okay. And now, obviously, we're a little bit stuck. Why? Why should that be? Meaning they discharge red and white. So regardless of what gender they are, they discharge something that would make them tame, her, him, you know, it's a suffix. So I have a suffix, what to call it. So it would make the androgynous tame. So why, if they go into the base of Mikdash, are you not chayav a carbon? That needs an explanation, demands an explanation. So all we get from the statement is, well, the pasuk says, Mizachar ve'ad nekeva tishalechu, and as we are now on the top of Chachesam and Beis, it reads like this: Zachar v'adai nekeva v'adais. In order to be chayv a carbon olav yored for going into the Beis Hamikdash, so you have to be definitively male or definitively female, not tumtum and androgynous, which are not definitively either. Okay, lema misayele. The Gemara now is going to try to bring a proof for this idea. Meaning, why are they not going to be chayv a carbon? So right now, the way we're saying it, it's gzeiras hakasuf. The pasuk says, mizachar ad nekeva. So the Gemara suggests that this brisa would seem to support this. Tumtum adjog nesharo labano odam. So I have either a tumtum or a judgenis who's discharging either white or red. Ein chayav nadeas mikdash vein sorfen laim esetruma. So it's a suffix. So therefore, as we expected, you're not chayv a carbon if you go into the base of mikdash. You're not going to burn the truma if they were to touch the truma. Rao Laban vi'odem, if however they saw red and white, or properly translated white and red, ka'achas, Ein chayav nal beis mikdash al sofer lemes truma. Okay, so the Braisa says it clearly as Rav said it, which is that for going to the beis mikdash you're not going to be chayav for touching truma. You're going to burn the truma. So my taima. And so now this is where the Braisa comes to an end. Now the Gemara is conjecturing. My time. Okay, fine. So it must be a drasha, meaning in the absence of an explanation. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is, oh, it's because of the drasha of the pasuk. That's it, right? So Amar Ulala. So Ula says, not necessarily. You don't have to say that pshat. In fact, you could say a different pshat. And now what Ula is going to propose is a different pshat. This is where we left off yesterday, and this is where now we get to pick it up. Hamani Rebbe Eliezer he. Ah. I'll tell you pshat. Pshat is that the author of that braisa that we just quoted is Rabbi Eliezer. Now, it needs explanation. We're going to get it. Did not we learn to the Mishnah Rabbi Lazar Omer, HaSheretz V'Ne'elam Imenu Ad Helam Sheretz, Hu Chai V'Enu Chai V'Al Helam Mikdash. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you go into the Beis HaMikdash. So, what's the halama? Meaning, you were telling me you went into the Beis HaMikdash. So, if you did so b'mezid, so that's not good. Okay, but we're not talking about someone doing so b'mezid. Shogeg, meaning they forgot. What did they forget? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, so Nela mi menu, the Torah says that you forgot from it. Now that's a pronoun. Now obviously it's always a problem with a pronoun. What's it modifying? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, al helam sheretz. He forgot that he touched the sheretz. That's the halama. But if he was helam tumo, sorry. Ve'enu chayv al helam mikdash. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, if the halama was the Beis HaMikdash, you forgot this was the area of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a strange lapse. Or maybe better stated, you forgot that going into the Beis HaMikdash while Tamei is Aser. Maybe that's a better way to say it. But anyway, according to Rabbi Eliezer, for that, you're not going to be Chayiv. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, V'nela Mimenu, V'hu Tamei Al Halam Tumah, Hu Chayiv, V'enu Chayiv Al Halam Mikdash. Now Rabbi Akiva argues. But when, as I just read the statement of Rabbi Akiva, sounds like he's saying the same thing. Rabbi Kiva says that you're chayiv on the halam tuma, where the halam is on the item that made you tame, and not on halam mikdash. What? Rabbi Kiva just said the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. And meanwhile, the way the braisa is constructed, it sounds like they're debating. And then I read it again, it doesn't sound like they're debating. Are they debating or are they not debating? The answer is they are debating. The question, of course, is what is their debate about? So the Amrina, my Beinayu. And that was our discussion in the base midrash. The Amr Chizke Sheretz Venevelika Beinayu. So there's a difference between them. It's subtle, but it's important. And that is, let's say you came into contact with Tumma. You forgot what you came into contact with. Meaning, you touched the Sheretz or you touched the Nevela.
You don't know the source.
The Rabbi Eliezer Savabina Nadiada Ibi Sheretz It May Benevela It May. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, file this under halama. This is considered unawareness, even though you know your tummy. You just simply don't know what the source is, right? You forgot. Oh, what was it that I touched? I know I'm tummy, and I'm going back, and my memory is just failing me. I forgot what was the item that I touched. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that's halama, and then you would be chayv a carbon. And Rabbi Kiva sever lobinan. And according to Rabbi Kiva, no. No, you don't need that kind of knowledge. Meaning, you know your tameh, you know you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, this is not considered a halama. Oh, so now what we have is a better understanding.
But if you don't know, it affects the duration of the tumah if you don't know what kind of tameh you are. No?
You're talking.
Implications. You can't just say, like, okay.
Why? In other words, they're both avatumas.
Right.
It's
not Mason sheretz, it's Nevelin sheretz. So vis-a-vis your Tahara process, it's the same.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
But Tumat Nemet is not considered yet. It's just those two.
I mean, I suppose that the Gemara gives these two examples by design, because it's more or less the same Tumah. There is a difference in terms of contraction. This part, you're right. Meaning, by Sheretz, it's only Metame Bemaga, and Avela is Bemaga and Masa. Okay.
But also duration. I mean, no. Seven days,
no, but then we're not talking Mace.
I know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right, but the examples over here is Mace, is Sheretz and Nevela. Okay, so now what comes out is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, so not knowing the source of the Tumah, even though you know your Tameh, that falls under the category of Halama. Now, Lama Amar Rabbi Lazar Hasamina Diada Iba Sheretz Idmei Benevela Idmei. So now the Gemara is just going to bring us from that discussion to our discussion. So over there, not knowing the source of tuma is considered halama hachanami. Same thing here. Bein in diadi, beluvan itmei, beodam itmei. So our androgynous, our tumtum. So which discharge is it that created the tuma? We don't know. Meaning we know the person's tamei, but we just simply don't know what was the cause. Oh. So just like Rabbi Eliezer over there says that that falls under the category of halama, so too over here this falls under the category of halama. And therefore, you would not be chayiv to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Aval Rabbi Akiva Dama Mishum Toma Mechayiv Hachanami Mishum Toma Mechayiv. And that would mean then that if we're aligning the brisa that we just learned like Rabbi Eliezer, so then if Rabbi Akiva is on the other side, so what would Rabbi Akiva say in our case? Oh, we know. What Rabbi Akiva says is that knowing how you become Tame is not a critical feature in the fact that you're Tame. And the fact that you're Tame and you know you're Tame and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to be chayiv. So that means that according to Rabbi Akiva, for the androgynous or tumtum who had two discharges of red and white, so according to Rabbi Akiva, you're going to be chayiv. So,
I'm sorry. Can't you say it's a sfeit sfeita? Because you don't know if the red could be from either one, you're not sure, and the white could be from either one, you're not sure.
When you say either one, I don't understand.
If the white comes from the male, then it's tummy.
Right. We're assuming, the Gemara is assuming that the white came from the male. The Gemara is not. It's one of the givens of the Gemara. Okay. V'Rav Maishna Bias Mikdash Delo. Now, as far as going back to Rav, so by Bias Mikdash, why not Tichsiv? Zachar Vadnekeva Tishalechu. Zachar Vaday Nekeva Vadays. V'Lo Tumzum Androgynous. And now the Gemara goes all the way back to the beginning of the Sugya. So, in other words, as far as the Brisa is concerned, so what Ula just suggested is I'm going to give a different shot in the Brisa. And he did by aligning the Brisa together with Rabbi Eliezer. But now when I go all the way back to Rav, and now I want to say Pshat and Rav, so as far as Pshat and Rav is concerned, we're going to go back to what we originally proposed. Meaning, why is it that our Tumtum and Androgynous who had both the white and red discharge, why is it that when they go into the base of Mikdash, they're not going to be Chayav Karban? The answer is what we originally proposed. It's a Drasha. So we Hachi Truma Nami Lo Nisrof Tichsiv. So the Gemara says, okay, it's a Drasha. I'm going to have another Drasha. And with my drasha right now that we're going to propose, not mine, I'm saying the Gemara. So with our new drasha, so we're going to say the same thing by truma and the burning of truma. The pasuk says va'azav et zavol lezachar nekeva. If a discharge were to occur either by a man or by a woman, and I'll say the same thing that we just said, and this obviously is referring to a discharge being had by either a man or a woman, and zachar v'adai nekeva v'adai zavol tumtum v'adjoganus. So the Gemara says, and why don't we say the same drasha as it relates to the discharge? Just like we had a drasha regarding Tumas Mikdash, and it has to be either definitively male or definitively female. I'll just say the same thing regarding the burning of Truma, based on the pasuk that we just quoted. It has to be definitively male, definitively female. So the Gemara sidesteps this question with a technical answer. Ha'umi ba'ilei lecha d'Rabbi Yitzchak. Ah, we could have made a drasha, but already this pasuk is occupied with another drasha. And so therefore, there's just simply no availability. So that drasha is teaching us the halacha of mayanos. Mayanos are basically secretions of the body. If spit comes out of the mouth of a mitzora, if spit comes out of the mouth of a mitzoras, so that spit is going to have the same degree of tumah as the person themselves. The person is an avatumah. The spit that comes out also is going to be an avatuma, and we're learning it from that pasuk. So hainami mi bailei bimishri shlotara bimikva. Prat lekli cheres divrei Rabbi Yosi. So the Gemara says, okay, occupied? You know what? I'm going to go back to the pasuk regarding Tumas Mikdash. That's also occupied, because that pasuk is teaching us a different halacha, notably the halacha of Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi teaches us a halacha. What has to be sent out of the area of the Beis HaMikdash? A person that's tameh, or something like a person? What's something like a person? Meaning something that has the same characteristics as a person. When a person becomes tummy, what's the characteristic of that person? The characteristic is, you go to a mikvah, you come out, you're tower. Right. So any kli that shares that characteristic is going to also have to be taken out of the area of the base of mikdash if it's tummy. What does that exclude? Kli cheres. What happens when the kli cheres becomes tummy? You shaber, you break it. You don't, there's no mikvah. So what comes out now is that we also have that pasuk occupied for another drasha. So imke nichtov rechmana adam, v'chi adam. So the Gemara says if it were just the halach of Rav Yosi, we would have learned it from the word adam by itself. Which, think about it, makes sense. meaning Adam already tells us that it's either a person or something with the characteristic of a person in terms of how to resolve the tumah. So the Gemara says, now, if the Torah would have written Adam, it would have been slightly misleading, because I would have thought, oh, Adam, so that would not cover kli matachos, it wouldn't cover metal. So we call tamei la nefesh nafka. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we also have extra words in the pasuk of kol tamei la nefesh, and that comes to teach us any object that is that goes into a mikvah like a person. Zachar nekev l'amali l'chadarav. And now going all the way back to the beginning of the sugya, so then the word zachar nekev, which we now pointed out are extraneous words, so they're freed up to teach us the halach of rav. Notably, that in order to be chayiv a karban, while going into the base of Mikdash being Tamei, so you have to be either definitively male or female. Yes, it's true. If our Androshan has had both discharges of male, of red and white, so yes, it's true, definitively they're Tamei, but the reason why they're not going to be chayiv of going into the base of Mikdash is simply because of the drasha. You have to be either definitively male or female. The Gemara says, okay, why don't we say that, look, the drasha is needed to teach us Allah of Rav. So why not say that that's what the entire pasuk is coming to do? And where do we have room in the pasuk to teach us the halacha of Rav Yossi? Imke nechtav zachar nekeva, my mizachar the ad nekeva. So the Gemara says, yeah, if we just wanted it for the drasha of Rav, the pasuk would have said zachar nekeva, to tell us that it has to be either absolutely male or absolutely female. The fact that it also adds the words ad kol davar sheyesh lo tahor b'mikvah, that teaches me the halacha of Rav Yossi. That anything like a human, i.e. you tovel in the mikvah and it's tahor, so that is coming from the word ad. Ihachi ki itmei b'shar tumas lo l'shachu. So the if I become tummy with any of the other tumas, you're not sent out. I'm a krami zachar mi tuma ha'pareshas min hazachar. So the Gemara says no, because it says mi tuma, the man from, meaning any time that a person has a tuma that is generated from their body. So under those circumstances, the person has to leave the base of Mikdash. V'chol hecha. So period. So basically what comes out over here after a somewhat lengthy and technical discussion, it's basically just a question of drushas and where a drusha is available and where drusha is not available. So just to review the halachas. As far as our tumtum and drushas, even though we know they're tameh, they had a discharge of both red and white, and they're for sure tameh. So if they touch truma, what do we do with the truma? We burn it. Because the tumtum and androgynous are tameh. And so therefore the truma is going to be burnt. If they go into the base of Mikdash, are they going to be chayav a karban? So if it were up to a svara, the answer would be yes. But it's not up to a svara. We have a drasha. And the drasha tells us no. And as far as why don't we employ the same kind of drasha when it comes to the burning of truma, we do have a pasuk, v'azav v'zavolach v'zachar nekeva. So the Gemara just gives the technical answer of that pasuk is already occupied to teach us a different halacha, and simply we have no availability of a drasha. Okay. V'chol hecha, we are 5 lines from the bottom on Chav Ches Amud Beis. V'chol hecha d'chziv m'zakar ha'nekev l'muti tumta v'adjoganas hu da'asa. So the Gemara says, you see the phrase m'zakar ha'nekeva. So immediately what should click in our mind is that the Torah is telling us that for this particular halacha, you have to be either definitively male or definitively female. So this should resonate, this Gemara. We saw this some time ago. But this Gemara we went over before, back in Masechta Erchin. The pasuk says, Zazachar, in terms of a schedule of Erchin pledge, a person makes an Erchin pledge, as we discussed all the way back in the Masechta. Erchin is just simply another vehicle in terms of how to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, where I give my erech or somebody else's erech. What is the value of a person when I'm using the word erech? It's a schedule. The Torah gives us a schedule based on gender and age. So, hazachar v'tanya hazachar v'lotum t'man jagnos. So, what if the person that I'm pledging is either a tumtum or a jagnos? So they're not in the schedule, and so therefore the erech pledge is not binding. So yachol yeh berachisha, aval yeh berachisha. Okay, so don't look at the column of male, but go to the column of female, because the prices in female are less than that of a male. So if I'm pledging a tumtum and androgynous, and I go to the female column, how am I losing? Meaning, if it's female, okay, this is the number, and if it's male, okay, so I'm shorter the number, but in the very minimum, that should be the number, right? So Tamalama Zachar vi in the keva, Zachar vada in the keva vadai. So Tumtum va Jagannos. So the Gemara says, oh, we have a drasha, the drasha of Zachar in the keva. But critically reading the drasha, and that's what the Gemara is about to do, it's not the same like what we're saying. Taima dichsiv hazakar vi in the keva. It's because the phrasing of the Torah is super specific. It says Zachar v'im nekeva, meaning it's either or. Ha mizachar v'nekeva lo mimai. If the pasuk would have read just mizachar u'nekeva, that wouldn't have been enough to exclude the tumtum and drunkenness. So the Gemara says, "Homi be'le lechalik bein erech ish la'erech isha." So the Gemara says, over there, I have to make a distinction, differentiation between male and female. Meaning, without the drasha, I would have thought that the tumtum should not have been excluded because just simply file it under a female, like we described just moments earlier. So the need for that particular drasha in that particular scenario is to tell us that they are totally removed and excluded from the schedule of Erchin. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. We are now starting Chav Tes Amud Aleph. We're on the very top of the Amud. And the first part of today's daf is going to be a discussion of the second half of yesterday's Mishnah. If you go back to Chav Ches Amud Aleph and you look at the Mishnah again, the Mishnah talks about where the baby comes out in a unusual fashion. Now, the Mishnah describes the following. Yatzah Mechutach. So, Rachmanas, the baby was not able to sustain and keep itself in one piece, but Rachmanas, the baby, broken up into pieces and came out in those pieces. Or, the Mishnah goes on over another scenario, or Misuras. Now, Misuras over here could just simply mean the baby came out reverse. The baby came out breech. Feet first. Sorry. I stumbled. Mishiyata Rubo Harehu Kiyalud. So, the Mishnah is teaching us the following halacha. That under these circumstances where either it came out in pieces or it came out reversed, so the Leda designation, the legal definition of birth is going to be, I need the majority of it to come out. Contrast that to what? A regular birth. In the case of a regular birth, so what is the definition of birth? The Mishnah told us. The forehead. All I need is the forehead to come out up to the temples. Rashi is going to actually use the word temples. So I'll show you later on this morning. So if it's a regular birth where it comes out head first, so then the crowning of the head is going to be the legal definition of birth, which has a number of applications we are discussing. Tumas Leida, so good. So I don't need to go to other nafkaminas, although there are. But in other words, as far as the halach is concerned, now the mother at this point in time is metame tumas Leida at just simply the crowning. Okay, why is this next Gemara going to be a little bit difficult and a little bit complicated? Because there's a couple of ways to read the Mishnah. Even though I just read it, and it's pretty straightforward. However, if you look back at the Mishnah, Yatzah Mechutach O Misuras, it came out in pieces, and it came out breech. Now, I said and it came out breech, right? I add the conjunction of and. Is that the right conjunction? Maybe not. Maybe it's or. Okay, so this is going to be the confusion and the complication of the upcoming Gemara. Yatzah Mechutach O Misuras V'chule Amar Rav Elazar Afilo Aroshi Mahem. So Rabbi Elazar the Amora has the following opinion, and that is the following. Let's say that it is mechutach, it's cut up, and the even if the head were to come out first, according to Rabbi Elazar, the head is no longer have its significance, meaning the crowning of the head, which is the definition of birth. According to Rebbe Lazar, is significant, but only when it's a viable baby. If Rachmanis, it's not viable, even though it's the head that came out first, the head now is just considered a limb of the body, and therefore I need the majority of it to come out. Okay, that sheet is Rebbe Lazar. Rav Yochanan, Mar Loshanu Eloshena Roshi Mahem. Avala Roshi Mahem. So we have on the side, in terms of a girsa that reads a little bit better, Harehu Kiyulud. Now, Rav Yochanan will tell you, no. Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that as long as the head comes out, even if it is not a viable entity, so Rav Yochanan says the head is still significant. Okay. And that would be, and that would register as Leda as long as the head comes out. That is Shitas Rav Yochanan. Now, Lema B'dishmul Kamiflagi. Now, presumably what's going on over here is we're looking at the significance of the head if Rachmanis, it was not a live birth. But it was Rachmanis, it was a stillborn. Or it came out in pieces. And is the head still have its significance? That's the question. And the Gemara says, you know, Shmuel commented on this back in Bechoros, and presumably now the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, who are a Moraim of Eretz Yisrael, so maybe what they're arguing is within the Shita of Shmuel. Now, what is the Shita of Shmuel? Damar Shmuel in a Rosh Poter ben Nephalim. Now, Shmuel made the following statement. Right? It's a very short statement, but it needs an explanation. Take a look at Rashi over here in HaRosh Poter ben Nephalim. Rashi writes, Yatzar Rosh HaNefel. We're discussing now the birth of a animal. In this halacha, the halachas of when is the legal definition of birth, it's going to be the same for humans as it is for animals in terms of whether the head is significant. So we're going to go back and forth between human and animals, but in this regard, it's going to be the same. And what's the example over there? Kagon Rashi writes, Yoledes to omim, l'shiva echa nigmar atzuraso ve'echa lo nigmar atzuraso. So what happened was is that it was twins, and one was complete, one was incomplete. V'yatzarosh ha-nefel v'ichziro. And what happened was is that the head of the nefel, the stillborn, came out and then retracted. V'achar kach yatzar achiv ha-ave b'chor. And then afterwards now comes out the brother. So the brother is going to be a b'chor l'kohen. She'ein rosh, I'm sorry, this is talking about humans, by the way. This is not talking about animals. She'ein rosh ha-nefel poter es haba acharav mina b'chora. Rabbi Lazar islay d'shmuel. And what comes out now is that the head of the nafel, which emerged because it was a nafel, is now an insignificant moment. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, when it comes out and it comes back in again, that does not qualify as a birth. When its brother now comes out, this is going to be considered the first birth. And therefore, the mother and father are going to be chayv in the mitzvah pidyon haben. Okay. That is the halacha of Shmuel. If we now take our discussion that we're having between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, so Rav Elazar now is going to side with the position of Shmuel, that if a head emerges, but if it's of a non-viable child, that's not significant. So we have now Rav Elazar aligned with Shmuel, and now Rav Yochanan is going to be on the other side of this debate, where Rav Yochanan says, no, the head is always going to be significant, whether it's viable or whether it's not viable. This is the way the Gemara is presenting the Machlokas. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. So the Gemara says like this. Now, if the baby came out whole and came out head first, even if Rachmanis it was not viable, everyone's going to agree. When I say everyone, I mean the Amorim of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. They're both going to agree that that was significant. Ki pligi b'mechutach. The only debate now between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan is when the baby is not in one piece. And so now, even though they agree that a non-viable birth, where the baby came out head first, and it was a stillborn, they both agree that, and when I say both, I mean Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, they both agree that the head is still significant, but they debate about whether or not, if the Rachmanis, the baby, not only is not viable, but was not even in one piece, does the head still retain its significance? But they both disagree with Shmuel. Shmuel says that if it's a nafel, even one piece nafel, if the head comes out, it's an insignificant moment in terms of the birth. You need the majority of it to come out in order for it to qualify as a birth. That's Shmuel's position. And the way now the Gemara set it up, both Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar are disputing that position of Shmuel. We're going to skip the parentheses. Ika demasin la lahashmaita babi nafsha. So the Gemara now points out that, as far as another way to say over the machlokis, So the machlokas over here is not qualifying our Mishnah, but rather they're just simply having an independent debate and not as a qualification of our Mishnah, but rather just simply in of itself. Amar Rav Elazar ein harosh kerov evarim, v'Rav Yochanan amar harosh kerov evarim. So Rav Elazar is of the opinion that the head is not like the majority of their limbs, of its limbs, and Rav Yochanan says that the head is like the majority of its limbs. And what are they debating? So in this second version, where it's not a modification of the Mishnah, but they're just simply debating independently in of itself. So here, there is no other way to say it. They're arguing within the position of Shmuel, meaning we know what Shmuel's position is. Nathal, if it's a stillborn and the head comes out, it's not legally significant. And now the way it's reported over here, where Rav Yochanan says the Rosh is Kerov Evarim, and Rav Elazar says the Rosh is not like the Rov Evarim, now we're going to have Rav Elazar line up like Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan arguing with Shmuel. Okay.
Regardless if it's whole or not?
It's not right, but here, right, but here they're not commenting on the Mishnah.
Right.
So it's not a question of mechutach or ain't a mechutach. Right. It's just an independent machlokas. Tanan, yatsa mechutach ha-mesuras mishiyatsa ruba harei keilud. Now, we're going to go back to our Mishnah, and now we're going to try to read our Mishnah. And as I pointed out, the challenge of the Mishnah is how to understand the conjunction of the Mishnah. So, yatsa mechutach o mesuras. If it comes out either cut up or breach. So as long as the majority has come out, it's considered born. Now, mid to come, mesuras mechal de mechutach kitik no. Now, here's the way the Gemara originally is going to understand the Mishnah. That the, it says mechutach, sorry, it says mesuras, so that means that it came out breech. Now, the way we're understanding it right now is that breecher simply means the baby's turned around. Instead of coming out head first, the head is down. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the feet are down. Okay. And then when it goes to mechutach, presumably, what's the consideration? The consideration is only that it's cut up. But in other words, in terms of direction, it's head down. Now, v'kamer mishiyatza rubo. And if this is the proper way to understand the Mishnah, well, now watch. So the Mishnah says that even if the head is coming out first, it's not going to be a birth until the majority comes out. So, harei ze ki yilud. Kasha l'Rab Yochanan. And this obviously presents a problem to Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Yochanan told us about the significance of the head, even if the head is no longer attached to the rest of the body. So Amalacha Rav Yochanan Ema Yatzim Mechutach Umisuras. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan says, look, I'm going to tell you how to read the Mishnah. You put a conjunction of or, don't do that. Put the conjunction of and. So the Mishnah should read, it's coming out both in pieces and it's also breech. Which means to say that if it came out in pieces but head first, that would be considered a leida. Vaha o kitani. Now the Gemara says, now look, in reading the Mishnah, I understand that sometimes it's a little bit ambiguous what the proper conjunction is. If we had just the vav by itself, connecting the two words, so the vav can go either way. Vav can sometimes mean and, vav can sometimes mean or. But over here in our Mishnah, it says, oh, that's not ambiguous. So hachi kamar. The Gemara says, I know, but here's how, I would read the Mishnah. Yatsa mechutach o shalem. So if it came out either in pieces or in whole, meaning the contrast is either pieces or whole. Vizeh vizeh mesuras. But in either scenario, it came out breech. So mishiyatza ruba harizik kilo. There you need the majority of the body come out because it came out in the reverse. But if it came out with the head down, even Rachmanis, it was a stillborn, even if Rachmanis, it came out in pieces, the head by itself is going to be considered a leida. Okay. So, Rav Yochanan's position seems to be negated by our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan is able to read the Mishnah, albeit somewhat forced reading of the Mishnah, but it's possible. You could read the Mishnah and still subscribe to Rav Yochanan. I'm Rav Papa Kitanai. Rav Papa points out, this is a machlokes hatanaim. Yatz mechutach ha-mesuras mishiyatza ruba harei keilud. Rav Yossi omer mishiyatza kitikno. So in the Braisa, we have a machlokes. That part's clear. The Tanakama's position, also pretty clear. Tanakama says it comes out mechutach o mesuras, either in pieces or breech. As where there the majority comes out, it's like yilud. And Rav Yossi says, mishiyatza kitikno. It comes out in its normal form. What is he talking about? So my ka'amar. So really, in order to understand the machlokas, you just have to understand simple pshan Rav Yossi. So Rav Papa says, I'll tell you. I'm Rav Papa hachi kamar. Yatza mechutach umesuras, mishiyatza ruba harei keilud. So if it comes out both in pieces and it comes out breech, then you need the majority of the baby to emerge. Hakitikno harosh poter. If it were to come out in the head down position, even if Rechmanis, the head is no longer attached to the rest of the body, the head still qualifies as a leida. That's the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishiyatza Rubo Kitikno. And Rabbi Yossi says no. In that scenario, I need the majority of the body to come out, then and only then is it considered a leida. So this is the way we're reading the Braisa. Comes out now that the machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan is now going to be the machlokas of the Tanaim. Okay, so it's just simply a question of alignment. Maskev Rav Zid Mechlal de Mimasuras Rubo Nami Lo Poter. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Interesting read of the Braisa. That means to say that what if it was Mesuras by itself? It was just breech. So what would you say under those circumstances? So you would say that majority is not enough? You need the entire baby to come out? That's untenable. Hakaimalan deruba kakulo. We know throughout Shas. Rov is always going to be enough. Rov is considered like all of this come out. So Alam Razvid Hachikamar. So Razvid says, okay, I want to say pshat in the Braisa. So Yatsa Mechutach Umesuras Meshiyasa Ruba Hare Zekilud. So according to the Tanakhama, if it's Mechutach Umesuras, both cut up and breach, you need the majority. Hakitikno, if it's coming out in the head down position, Hirosh Poter. So the head is going to be the poter, even though it was not viable. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Mishiyasa Kitikno Lechayim. And Rabbi Yossi says, when the head comes down and the head's significant and the head's going to be a Leda, the baby has to be a viable baby. Only when it's a live birth are we going to say the head's significant. But if Rechmanos the baby is not alive, so then the head by itself is not significant. Okay. Tayin Amiachi Yatsa Mechutach Mesuras Mishiyasa Ruba Arezek Yilud. So the Gemara goes to a Braisa that supports this as well. If it comes out mechutach mesuras, both cut up and breach, so you need the majority to come out. Hakitikno arosh poter, which implies very clearly that if it comes out head down, so then even though it was mechutach, even though it was cut up, that head emerging is considered birth. Rabbi Yossi Amar Mishiyetsa Kitikno lechayim. So and Rabbi Yossi says no, the head being significant only if it's a live birth. Ve'ezu Kitikno lechayim Mishiyetsa rov rosho. So you need the majority of the head to come out. Ezu rov rosho. And what exactly do we mean by the majority of the head? Rabbi Yossi Amar Mishiyetsa tzad of. You need the temples to emerge. Rashi over here uses the word temples. Abba Chanan Mishim Rabbi Yeshua Amar Mishiyetsa padachto. You need the forehead to come out. V'yesh Amrim Mishiyur karnei harosh. You need to see the horns of the head. In terms of the bone structure, not totally clear. I'm not anatomically versed enough to know what exactly he's making reference to over here. He must be talking about some bone structure of the skull, but whatever the case is, you don't need the entire head. Each of these tanaim are just expressing, you just simply need part of the head, and each one is detailing which exact part of the head needs to emerge, but that's the basic idea. Okay, so I told you that last part was going to be slightly complicated just simply because the question really revolves around, well, look, here's what we know, right? If we could just have a nice, easy starting point of this whole discussion. If the baby comes out head down, healthy baby, healthy delivery, so then what is going to define the birth? The emergence of the head, and not even the whole head. As long as you have some part of the head coming out, exactly which part, you know, you could refer to the Gemara that we just learned together, so that is considered Leda. That's the given. That we know for sure. And then from there, here's where it gets murky. What if it's not? What if it wasn't a viable baby that came out? What if it wasn't a live baby? What if it was Rachmanis, it was a stillborn? Is the head still going to have its significance? That's a debate. That's a debate in the Braisa that we just saw between Rav Yossi and Tanakama. What if it came out breech? Well, if it came out breech, actually, here there's no machlokas because obviously the head is the last thing to come out. So what's going to qualify the birth? What's going to qualify the birth is the rov. Okay, that part is also easy and a given. So really, if it's coming out head first, but the baby was a stillborn, so is the head still going to have its significance? So that's the machlokas that we saw amongst the Amoraim, amongst the Tanaim. It's a good question. I'm not sure.
And if it's alive and it's breech,
Rove, you need majority.
Oh, majority.
Okay. We start with the next Mishnah. Hamapels vein yadua ma'u teishel v'zachar nekeva. She miscarried, and she just simply doesn't know what came out of her. So there, she's going to be sitting for Zachar Nekeva. Okay, we're going to qualify that in just a moment. Now, let's say that she had a discharging event, but she doesn't even know she's not even sure if she was pregnant. Possibly. So there, Zachar Nekeva Nida. In other words, you have to take now all three considerations. Mm-hmm. It was a baby and it was a male. It was a baby and it was a female. Or maybe it wasn't a baby at all, and that would qualify now as just simply damnida. Okay, so all this is going to be explored and explained in great detail. I'm Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Avra Nahar, V'Yipila Mevi'a Karba Menecha. Halacha Rav Nashim, Rav Nashim Vlad Ma'alya, Yaladan. So we start with the Gemara with the statement of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, of course, being an Amora, and he's very clear about the following. A woman is going through a river while expecting, and she had a discharge while going through the river with a current. And so something came out of her. She, unfortunately, the current just washed it away. And so now at this point in time, is she mitam tumas leida? So Rabbi Shulman Levi says, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. With no ambiguity. She's tumas leida. And even though we have no evidence of the birth, but she's tummy tumas leida. Was it a male or a female? Of course we don't know. So therefore, teisha lezachar nekeva. So in other words, we'll take both into consideration. But however, when she does bring her carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's going to be a chatas and it's going to be an ola. Now the ola can be an adava, so it was a baby, it wasn't a baby. But the chatas, for the Kohanim to eat it, we have to know definitively, we have to say definitively she had a baby. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, I'm comfortable saying that. She had a baby. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, the carbon's going to be brought, and the Kohanim are going to be eating the chatas, because I'm saying she had a baby. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Did Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi not know our Mishnah? Of course he knew our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah seems to suggest otherwise. And the Gemara, that's where the Gemara is going. Tanan. Enya duim vlad haya teisha lezachar nekev lenida. Amai teisha lenida. Leima halachacha rav nashim vlad malya yalada. How did you understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said that she had a birthing event, but she's really not sure what happened. Was it even a birth? Maybe not. And the Mishnah says that we have to take three possibilities into account. One, it was a zachar. Two, it was a nekeva. Three, it was not. It was neither. And therefore, it was just simply damnida, that discharged out of her. So that's our Mishnah. And so meanwhile, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, no, I'm saying confidently it was a birth, even though she was in the river and the river swept away whatever came out of her. And so therefore, we don't know. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, yeah, but I know it was a baby. Well, in the Mishnah, our Mishnah wasn't comfortable saying that. Our Mishnah considered the third possibility. It wasn't a baby. So the Gemara is going to make a very important and pretty intuitive distinction between the Mishnah and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. The Mishnah is talking about where she's not even sure that she's pregnant. In other words, the baby wasn't yet recognized. Like we discussed earlier in the Masechta, 3 months is the time where she starts showing. And right, we saw that by Tamar. So in other words, she suspects that she's pregnant, but there was no actual evidence that she was pregnant yet. Okay, she didn't go for a sonogram. There was no hard evidence that she was pregnant. She has a suspicion that she's pregnant, but she doesn't know for sure. So there, when she has now a discharge, so what came out? So now we can entertain. Maybe it was a male, maybe it was a female, maybe it was neither. However, mishahukra ubra, after 3 months where she starts to show, and she now knows that she's pregnant, so now it's more likely than not, and I say more likely than not, meaning we'll put it under the category of rove to the point where we're going to say it was a baby. We don't know what happened. We don't know what came out of her. The current washed it away. It was a baby. And then she'll count her yemei tumah, yemei tahara. She'll bring her kabanos, and the kohanim are going to even eat the karmen chatos.
If she doesn't know she's even pregnant, why does the Mishnah have to say the first part? It should be only the second part. She should be all three automatically.
Right. The first part is just simply saying
I
that.
Know she's pregnant, so what was she saying?
Right. The first part is just simply describing she doesn't know the gender. So the first
but
part
she
is.
She doesn't even know she's pregnant. So what's the
gender? Yeah, but the Gemara, I understand that, but that qualification is going on the second case of the Mishnah.
Robin Chazak and understanding, we generally, in the Suffolk, don't eat korban.
Right, but Suffolk generally is 50-50. What Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying is that I don't think this is a 50-50 statistic. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying is that, and again, for me to give out numbers would just be silly, I'd be guessing, but it's much closer to 100% than it is to 50%. Right. You know, even within the spectrum of somewhere between 50 to 100. So the Gemara does make distinctions between, right, the Rov HaNikar, right, there are degrees of, you know, it's majority versus, like, we really know. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying is that more probable than not. It's not a suffix. It's he's more confident in saying that this probably happened.
Is it possible to be a ruach by tzibur?
Again, that's a possibility, but Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says I'll put that with the miut. In other words, he really believes that the likeliest explanation is that what came out was a viable or something that potentially could have been a viable
that's
later.
A possibility. Who
right.
Should be ruach?
It could. You're right. It could be, but then, in other words,
No.
But even if that's true, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi is saying, but that belongs in the category of miut. That's not part of the rov. Tashma behema shiatsa maleo ba rekanes. Now the Gemara here talks about animals. All right, earlier this morning, right? I was saying we're going to talk about animals. I was here anyway. The behema shiatsa maleo ubas rekanes. So the animal was pregnant for sure. And then the animal came back, and the animal's no longer pregnant. And haba achra b'chor mi suffik. And so what came out of her? We don't know. So the next baby that's born is going to be a bechor, misafik. Why?
Why?
Right. But right. Okay, good. You're right in step. So the Gemara says, look, what happened? The animal gave birth. And vis-a-vis, whether it was male or female, doesn't matter. Meaning, whatever she gave birth to was the firstborn. And now, the next one that comes out is called the Pashut. So the next one shouldn't be a having any Kedushas Bechor. Vai Pashut who? This animal is a Pashut, right? And even though we don't know definitively, but if I plug in Rav Yeshua ben Levi's rule about what we're going to suspect that happened, the majority of the time what happened was is that something that came out that was a Leda. So I'm Ravina, Mishum de Ikalamim, Rav Behemoth, Yoldos Dover HaPoter, Mibachora Miyutin, Yoldos Dover Shena Poter, Mibachora. So the Gemara says, okay, when it comes to an animal giving birth, there's going to be an additional variable. Meaning, let's start off the same way we started off by a human birth. Meaning, it's most probably a Leda, but maybe not. With an animal, we'll start the same way. Most probably it was a Leda, but perhaps not. V'chol yoldos mitanfos. However, when it comes to an animal, so there's another variable to include, and that is tinuf. Now, what does that mean exactly, tinuf? Rashi over here gives a description. Rashi says mitanfos. I'm reading the Rashi, the second line from the bottom. Yom echad kodem leida ke'en glira. Okay? There is some sort of discharge, mucus discharge that comes out prior to the actual birth of the animal. Okay, what I should have done if I would have properly researched this, I should have called my farming friend over here in South Florida, and he's actually in Central Florida. But anyway, and find out if he could describe to me better what this tinuf is. Just but from the understanding of the Gemara alone, it basically means that when it comes to animals, because there's another variable that's included in tinuf, so now it disrupts our rove. Meaning, we have generally a rove that most of the time, if you know there was a pregnancy. And you know there was a birth even though you don't have evidence of what came out. So we're going to say that most of the time it was a Leda. You're right. But over here, when it comes to an animal, it is going to be contradicted by the fact that, not contradicted, but counteracted by the fact that this is variable of tinuf. We didn't see the tinuf in this animal, right? This mucus discharge that comes out prior to the actual birth. And so therefore, that just knocked out a row. So the vizu, ho velo tinfa, Israeli ruba. So that's why the robe over here doesn't work. So the Gemara says, it's such a strong variable. Why don't we make the following argument? There's a lack of tinuf. So why don't we say that this was not a birth? And so therefore now the next birth should really be considered the first birth. Okay, so the Gemara just simply tweaks it, and the Gemara says that it does this mucus discharge doesn't occur all the time, but it occurs, and so therefore it's now another variable, and I have to weigh that into the rove. I have to throw that into the rove, and that's why it's a disruption of the rove. Okay, ki asaravin. I'm going to start the next Gemara. It's not a good time to start it. You know what? It's not a good time to start it. I just thought about it for more than a second. Okay, we are now on the threshold of a complicated Gemara, but it's not really complicated. It's just there's a lot to keep in mind as we come up to the next Gemara. Tomorrow would be a great time to start. Let's quickly recap. We finished our discussion regarding the Antumta and Androgynous. Even though they had discharges of red and white, and even though we know that the Atumtum and Androgynous is Tameh, but because of a drasha, if they go into the base of Mikdash, they're not chayav a carbon olav yored. If they touch Truma, the Truma we're going to burn, because the Truma is for sure Tameh. But because of a drasha, they're not going to be chayav a carbon olav yored. That's the first part of today. That was really the conclusion of yesterday's daf. The big part of, the first part of today's daf, was what if the baby comes out not viable? What if it comes out in sections? What if it comes out breech? So even though by a healthy baby that emerges, the definition of Leda is the crowning of the head, but if it comes out in any of these other scenarios, does the head still retain significance, yes or no? So a major machlokus amongst the Amoraim and the Tanaim. Vis-a-vis the next discussion of the Mishnah, she has a miscarriage and with no evidence of what came out of her. What do we say? So in terms of gender, so obviously we have to play both sides. That's a 50-50, so therefore we play both sides. In terms of whether, let's say we don't even know that she was pregnant. She has a suspicion that she's pregnant, but she didn't start showing yet. And then she discharged. So then the Mishnah told us that we have to be concerned with Zachar, Nekeva, and possibly Anida. What about the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that we know we're saying for sure it was a birth? That's talking about a case where Hukra Ubra, where we know for sure that she was pregnant.